Good evening, friends. Again, we give you a hearty welcome. We'll continue to look at the road. Yesterday, the road to deliverance. Tonight, the road to delight. What a hymn. At the cross, happy all the day. The road to delight. Shall we turn, please, to the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 8. And reading verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. The road to delight. Verse 26, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. I repeat those words. He went on his way rejoicing, the road to delight. And Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The Lord again will bless the reading of his precious word. The road to delight. The world is confused tonight as to the source of real happiness, joy, jubilation. Some go the channel of alcohol, drugs, pleasure, the accumulation of wealth, and they do not find joy. J.B. Rockefeller said many years ago, I have made millions, but they have brought me no happiness. I would gladly barter these for the days I sat in an office and made $3 a week. Henry Ford says he was happier doing a mechanic's job. Andrew Carnegie, the Scottish multimillionaire. Millionaires seldom smile. You see, friend, you cannot find joy in the accumulation of wealth. One man I knew in the Bahamas just loved and lived to make money, always negotiating land deals, and he had cancer. A young man who was called the Island Idiot, not too sharp mentally, he went to visit him, knowing this man had a godly mother. And he says, "Mr. Roberts, you fool." He says, "What do you mean, me fool?" The young lad says, "The God says, the fool has said in his heart, no God." 1 week later, that man died. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I was having meetings up in New Jersey. A lady said to me, "My brother-in-law just sold his ice cream franchise for $80 million. I said, "Why don't you invite him to the meeting?" "Oh," she said, "he is not interested in spiritual things, period." A week later, I saw his death in the obituary column. Gone. Left $80 million. No joy in the accumulation of wealth. And there's no happiness, no joy to be found in unbelief. Voltaire says, "I wish I had never been born." Ingersoll, the great agnostic, says, "Life is a barren road between two great eternities, and the only echo of my wail is the sound of further grief." No happiness in unbelief. Joseph Stalin's daughter said she would never like to see a man die like her father, Joseph Stalin. He died a blasphemous, raving maniac. No joy, no happiness in unbelief. And there's no joy, my friend, in pleasure. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Lord Byron, one of Britain's great poets, died on a foreign shore in more than his share of this world's pleasure. And his last words were, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." No joy, no happiness in pleasure. The famous British magazine, the John Bull, had an editor called Horatio Bottomley. But he landed in Maidstone Prison, and a captain of the Salvation Army was going through visiting these prisoners. And he sat down beside Horatio Bottomley. He told him how he got saved. The preacher, the place, and the message. Horatio Bottomley said to Captain Fryer of the Salvation Army, "Would you repeat the place and the preacher and the message?" He said, "Yes." He says, "I too was at that meeting, and I deliberately shut it off." And he says to the captain, "A life without God is not worth living at all." Yes, there are various channels men think that they might find joy, delight, and happiness, but they're on the wrong road. But here in Acts chapter 8, we have the road to delight. Some of the principles in this lovely situation are mentioned. First of all, we're introduced to the evangelists, the channel of this message of delight. His name was Philip. Three times in the Acts of the Apostles, there's a reference to Philip. In chapter 6, he is a helper in the church. Here in Acts chapter 8, he is a herald in the world. And in the close of the book in chapter 21, he is a host in the home, entertaining God's beloved servants, Philip. And here he is preaching the word of God in Samaria. And he preached the right message. He preached Christ unto them. And so this man was a very faithful preacher. And there are many today who aspire to come behind a pulpit with a Bible. And they are not faithful to the Word of God. He was a faithful preacher. He preached Christ. No subject so glorious as he. No theme so affecting to us. And notice he was a very forceful preacher. He got the message across. And we find in this verse that there were those who gave heed unto the message that he preached. Forceful message. And it's a powerful message. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. It's the dynamite of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's a powerful message if it is proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was faithful, he was forceful, and he was fearless. There was much satanical opposition. And the devil hates the gospel. He'll do everything to disturb, cause a distraction. He hates the gospel. And he never gives up. And he's working overtime again and our day. He knows that his end is near. Much satanical opposition, unclean spirits. But through the power of the message, we discover that unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed. Fearless in the face of satanical opposition. Because we know that he that is for us is greater than he that is against us. We are on the victor side when we are on the side of the Lord Jesus. And he was a very fruitful preacher. He was faithful. He was forceful. He was fearless. And thank God he was fruitful. We discover that they all responded to the message. And they found the road to delight. And there was great joy in that city. And when a soul comes to the Savior, or souls come to the Savior, the joy of the heart knows no bounds. When I was having my heart surgery, my colleague got a message from the Lord. And he said to my wife, I was in intensive care. And he says, tell my brother that the sun will shine again and we'll preach together again. And I was in the valley of the shadow that day. And he was right. And the first time we preached together again was in Hamilton, Ontario. Sunday evening, a young couple invited by their daughter to come to the meeting. We could see they were obviously convicted and they went out the door. And when they got into the car, the daughter broke down in tears. She says, Mom and Dad, how could you ever go out of that meeting and not get saved? He said, you're right. Let's go back in again. So what a joy it was to see this lovely couple come back into the chapel, West Firth in Hamilton, Ontario. We pointed them to the Savior. And Don and Lois Wessels have been great servants of the Lord ever since. Husband and wife, saved that night. And there we were trying to sing, tears coursing down the cheeks, in the foyer, in Westford, Hamilton, Ontario, singing, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. This is the road to delight." So he's having a very successful gospel campaign, but then there's another work to be done. And so we discover that the angel of the Lord came to Philip in Samaria. And he says to him, "Arise and go toward the south. Go from the city down into the desert." So he was a man that was guided in his movements. God's servant should be responsive and guided in his movements. And he goes down to Gaza. There was a man from Ethiopia. Notice his race. He was from Ethiopia, Central Africa. We discover that he was very reliable. He was in charge of all the treasure of this Queen Candace of the Ethiopians. And he was very religious. He came 1,500 miles from Central Africa to Jerusalem for to worship. This was his desire. Some people can't cross the streets of Silver Springs, Worcester, Massachusetts, to listen to the glorious gospel. This man was not in a Mercedes-Benz or a Cadillac. He came in a chariot 1,500 miles to Jerusalem for to worship. His race, his rule, he was a man of authority. He was reliable, but very, very religious. Did he find what he was looking for in Jerusalem? No. He discovered that there was no avenue of joy in religion. Religion is a mess. Men are confused today because of the various religions. This man came all those miles. Oh, he saw the priests with a long flowing garment going through the sheep gate with the sheep. He saw the morning and the evening oblations. He saw the sacrifices. He saw the ritual. He saw the ceremony. But there was still a void in his heart. He never found what he was looking for in the religious system of Judaism. So he was a man with the right intention, but he didn't find joy in Jerusalem. Was returning. His desire was to find joy in Jerusalem. Didn't find it. Was returning. We go from his desire to his disappointment. He's traveling home, discouraged, despondent. But the seeking sinner will always find the seeking Savior. The Lord knew his need. That's why the angel said, "Go down to Gaza." My friend, God is interested in you tonight. He is interested in every individual that was ever born. And he is constantly working on the hearts of men and women that they might find real joy. Dr. Torrey says, God blockades the road to hell with his love. God puts everything in the way to keep a person from going down to the place called hell. What a sad situation. disappointed, dissatisfied, discouraged. But God had his messenger there, and there was one other person there, the Holy Spirit. You see, you cannot find joy apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. And today, the message from the Holy Spirit to you and to me is today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. And so the seeking sinner found the seeking Savior. And he's traveling home, discouraged, difficulties. But notice, the angel said to Philip, you go down to Gaza. But now the Holy Spirit takes over. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, join thyself to this chariot. You see, the Holy Spirit was riding on the chariot. They couldn't see him, but he was there. Join thyself to this chariot. And it's wonderful when divine persons take over the lead. You remember, in the days of Noah, he preached for over 100 years the message of repentance and judgment, and they turned him off. God says, I've had enough. Faithful preacher. God says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. God was the captain of the boat. And he opened the door, and in went Noah and his family. And God shut the door. And when God shuts, no man can open. And when God opens, no man can shut. God is in control. And so the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is interested in your soul tonight. That's awesome. That's overwhelming. Join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran. You see, there's urgency in the presentation of the gospel. This could be the final meeting in this place. Because I believe the Lord's coming is very, very near. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Time is running out. And so he ran. There's an urgency in the message. And there was a man from Ethiopia. His desire was to find satisfaction and joy in Jerusalem. He couldn't find it. His difficulties, now he's heading home. But again, God is in control. When in Jerusalem, he had got a copy of the book of Isaiah. Now it's obvious that he had money, he had wealth. It was a very expensive document, and he purchased the book of Isaiah in the city of Jerusalem. And he's reading this. You see, he was reading the right portion of the Word of God. You won't find joy in the Boston Herald or the Miami Herald or your local newspaper. But you'll find joy in the reading of the Word of God. And he beckoned Philip to join him in the chariot. This man who was guided in his movements was also very gracious in his manner. And a preacher should be gracious in his manner. Because the greatest preacher that ever lived was very, very gracious. And that was the Lord Jesus. Understandest thou what thou readest? He says, how can I except someone should guide me? There was a desire. There was his difficulties. Now, friends, think of his discoveries. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. What a discovery. He discovered that salvation was not in a place. It was not in Jerusalem. It was not in a church building. He found that salvation was in a person. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The greatest pervading theme of all scripture is to find the Lord as the lamb. From Genesis to Revelation, the priceless subject is the Lord Jesus as the lamb. Red as a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth. The gentle, loving, gracious Lord Jesus, the lamb. And what a memorable day that was when he walked the banks of Jordan. In solitary grandeur, in unparalleled dignity. Because the Song of Solomon says his bearing is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. They never saw a man walk like this. Seeing Jesus as he walks, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He can take away your sin tonight. The sin of the nation. The sin of the world. The capability is his, but you must be willing. He discovered crucifixion. He discovered humiliation. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Humiliation. The Lord Jesus was the most humble man that ever lived. His humility scintillates on the page of Holy Scripture. Humility. No wonder Paul says, we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. There's lots of things we don't know. But we thank God tonight for the things that we do know. And we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. He could see the cattle on 1,000 hills or mine, the silver and the gold. And he walked the streets of earth in the homespun of a carpenter. And said, show me a penny. I wonder what these television evangelists, how they react when they look at the Word of God in relation to this. Silver and gold have I none, says Peter. But such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Just a few months ago, Benny Hinn, a TV evangelist, came to Worcester, Massachusetts. Makes $50 million a year. He had a big convention in the Centrum, so said the newspaper. And it was packed to capacity. Now he says, anyone with arthritis, please come forward and be healed. So several older people went forward to be healed. One of his co-workers was slaying people in the spirit, whatever that means. This man was catching one man slain in the spirit. He was over 300 pounds. He couldn't hold on to him. He rolled over, knocked over one of the old ladies, and fractured her ribs. Now, if he was a faith healer, why did he not heal her ribs? Well, she's taken him to court, so he'll need some money. Silver and gold have I none. Oh, the humility of the Lord Jesus. Paul writes to the Philippians about the Lord Jesus. He thought it not something to be grasped at, to be in equality with God, but made himself of no reputation. The only man who ever had a reputation took upon himself the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. So this man discovered on the way back home to Ethiopia that salvation was in a person, one who was characterized by humility. And notice, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. He saw humiliation. The crucifixion. The only way that you can find joy is to come to the cross. For it's at the cross you find the road to the light, and you're able to sing, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He came to the right place, and he came to the right man. I tell you, friend, we rejoice tonight, as Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Oh, we love the cross. O cross of Christ, O glorious place, what place can be compared with thee? For God's own Son, a ransom died, and for my sin was crucified. Humiliation, crucifixion, he was cut off in death that you might live. He died that we might live. And he found the authenticity of the Word of God, beginning at the same scripture, Isaiah 53, he preached unto him Jesus. Oh, we thank God for that lovely reference by the Holy Spirit. He preached unto him Jesus. I was traveling from Detroit to Port Huron some time ago, and a long stretch of highway, nothing but trees, on one tree a large piece of lumber, and on it was written, "You need Jesus." I said to my wife, "Well, thank the Lord right now. People passing up and down that highway are challenged. You need Jesus." Tonight, my friend, we thank God for you being here, but let me tell you, you need Jesus. Jesus alone can save. And he's willing to save you tonight and bring you into the royal family of God. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He's the only one that can take care of our sins. So he saw the authenticity of the Word of God. He was overwhelmed. So what he couldn't find in a place, he found in a person. And as they traveled on, they saw a body of water. Now, wonder what got into him and through him, and by whom? Water. Well, he saw one in the scriptures who was cut off in death for him. Now he says, in essence, they cut him off at the cross. Now you cut me off. I want to identify myself with this Lord Jesus. Here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see, that was the ground of his identification with the Lord Jesus. If you believe, not with the head, but with all the heart. There has to be the heart motion toward his embrace. Revelation 3:20. The Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me. And so there was this public declaration to his entourage of a work that was done in his heart. And what did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How do you get saved? I believe. That is the word faith. It takes faith to accept the death of the Lord Jesus. It takes faith to understand creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It takes faith to believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. It takes faith to believe in the crucifixion. What does it mean to believe? It means simply to receive. To as many as receive him, to them give you the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe in his name. Do you want to receive him tonight? If not, why not? How could you ever turn down this lovely Lord Jesus, who's done everything possible to save your soul from going to hell? If there's 1 ounce of gratitude in our heart, it should be, yes, Lord Jesus, thanks for dying for me upon the cross. I believe. Faith. Jesus. He believed that this was the only one that should give him peace, could give him joy. Jesus. What a memorable scripture as we close the book. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, begins with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. Yes, you need Jesus. Jesus Christ. He believed that the one who died upon the cross was elevated. God hath made the same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. When I was 19 years old and the British Navy went out to Vancouver, I lost my ship in the Atlantic Ocean, torpedoed. I've mentioned before I was 2 hours in the water. In the 3rd of March, 1943. Those that were rescued, some, a new captain, we went out to Vancouver to pick up a new ship. I was there for 6 weeks. Met with God's beloved people. Was able to share the ministry through a Dr. Bryson, who was very kind to me. And finally said, there's a conference this weekend. He said, I think you could do some good for us by speaking. 19 years old. I went in fear and trembling. The other speaker was Alfred Mace, 90 years old. They wrote that hymn in the book, Oh, lead me to the man who died, who all God's nature glorified. And I spoke that day, I can remember as if it was yesterday, on the self-abnegation of the Lord Jesus in Philippians 2. That dear man of God, who was associated with A.W. Grant, who knew John Nelson Darby, he rose. And oh, the dignity. God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. A few months later, he passed away. What luxury it was to preach with that man of God. Christ, the exalted one, is the Son of God. My friend, you cannot be saved apart from believing in the deity of the Lord Jesus. All these cults out there, everyone, they reject the thought of the Lord Jesus in relation to his deity. And it's only the God-man, the Son of God, that can save your soul tonight. And in the light of that great confession, we read those words that Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, baptized before the entourage. He was now identified with Jesus. And they came up out of the water. And that's all in the form of baptism in the Word of God. Is an immersion. Sprinkling, no support whatever in the Word of God. And they came up out of the water. And he went on his way, rejoicing. The road to Jerusalem was marked by disappointment. But the road back to Ethiopia, it was a happy occasion. The road to delight. You can be the happiest person in this city, this building, tonight, if you would come to the Lord Jesus. You can come and start tonight on the right road. The road to delight, and it increases in magnitude day by day. So no wonder the scripture says, happy is the man. That's it. Happy is the man whose transgression are forgiven, whose sin is covered, and to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. As I close, I appeal to you. This is your golden opportunity. We can help you like Philip the evangelist did with a man of Ethiopia to find the Lord Jesus tonight. So you feel free to talk to me or others who have the capability in this building. Whatever you do, don't go out without Christ. And the saints can pray that God will bless his word tonight. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank thee for giving us the luxury once more of being gathered in this building to look into thy precious word and to speak well of the Lord Jesus. We pray again, O Father, if there be any here tonight not saved, thou dost know the hearts of all men and women, that those who are not in thy family will find the road to delight, to joy, to jubilation by coming to the Savior tonight. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Shall we sing in closing?